I want to just speak into your heart today. It's kind of funny, this message is coming on a day that where we have heard of devastation that happened last night in Florida. This message was prepared way before then, but it kind of could fit in if you'll just hear what I have to say today, not referring to that incident, but to try to grab a hold of what the families may be feeling right now and what they need to do. And if you go to the on here, you'll see that what we're speaking on this morning is out of 1 Samuel 36. And that'll be the key scripture that we use. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because all the people were bitter in soul, each for his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. I really want you to pay attention that David chose to do something that every one of us should choose every day, whether in a time of great devastation or weakness, or just in a great time of joy. We should always find our strength in God. Only God can give us the inner strength that we need to be able to get through the daily lives that we have to live here on this earth. There are great times, I know, where you enjoy everything and it seems like heaven has just reached down and wrapped its arms around you and pulled you close and you just feel so good. And we need those times. But there are times where it seems heaven is so far away, it seems unreachable, or God is not hearing our prayers, or healing doesn't come as swiftly as we ask God for. And we've quoted scriptures and we've dedicated our lives. We've been obedient, but yet the response or the rewards or the renewal that we seek isn't instantaneous. There's difficulties that come. How many realize today that difficulties come in our life where we certainly never order a difficulty? And if you order difficulties every day, you need to change your diet. Amen. You really do. Your emotional diet does not need difficulties. And so if you look at these words in this collage, it talks about David and the daughters, his family. We'll see this in the scriptures about the soul that was grieved and there was great distress. You know, I really like these collages because it just kind of mixes things up and it makes you seek out words and they impact you by that way, and how important it is that we know that what we're about to hear in Scripture is very distressful. But there's great peace in it when we choose to understand what the Bible's teaching us. Finding strength in weakness is what we're going to understand today. Finding strength in weakness. And I want you to read with me on the screen if you can, and or if you have your Bibles with you today, or your phones, or iPads, or galaxies, or whatever you use to study the Word. 1 Samuel 31 through 10. So they came back after victories, coming back to their families, coming back to the city that they had conquered, and decided to make that a place for them to dwell. And they found it burned, nothing there, and everything was gone. Their families were gone. Their wives and children were gone. And just think about that for a moment. And then, of all the things, David and them wept so much that they ran out of even the power to weep. That's a lot of crying. That's a lot of distress. That's a lot of despair. That's a great loss, what you're seeing here. This is one of the most unique stories in the Old Testament, to where you see such devastation to so many people all at once that literally were serving God, were doing what the Lord told them to do. And yet they come back and they find this. And then it even gets even deeper, in the sense that now, instead of everybody joining together and saying, let's make a plan, they say, it's David's fault, let's stone him. Now, in the Old Testament, when they said, let's stone you, They mean they are going to kill you. So David heard these words, "We are going to stone him." And David knew in his mind, "They are going to kill me. They're blaming me for everything that just happened. I wasn't even here. We were out doing the Lord's work." Are you with me so far? Out there doing the Lord's work, and all of a sudden this happens. All of a sudden, life is about to end for me when I was doing what was right. You know, see, in our minds, we kind of walk through this life thinking, punishment should only come when I do something wrong. And then we think, well, God is punishing us when we do something right because of how bad everything is. And it's not a punishment. It's a situation or a circumstance that God can use in your life to help you find strength in great weakness. All of us, by the sound of my voice, have weaknesses. All of us have things in our life that we simply don't want to talk about. We need to keep away from those things that cause us to sin or cause us to fail or falter or fear, because those are the things that we normally will fold under. I'm not mentioning any ice cream list of difficulties or weaknesses here. I'm just saying that we're human beings and we're made up a certain way. And we need God every day of our life, every moment of our life. We need the Lord. God's not somebody we can just pick up and say, "This was a great book." God's a book. And I'm just going to put him on the shelf for a while, and I'm going to go out and play. And I come back, and I think I'll take him off the shelf, and I'll get all together with God again. God is an every day, every moment, every second, every breath experience in our life. He's always there for us. He's caring for us. Even in a time of great distress, great doubt, even when we doubt the word, or even when our fear takes over our faith, our failures and frustrations take over our ability to trust. We get a Peter walking on the water situation where all of a sudden we notice all the difficulties and we sink. Even when Jesus is present, we find ourselves then struggling, but God never forsakes us, nor does he leave us. Hebrews 13 and 5. He will not. The Bible says in Hebrews 13 and 8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's always there. The Bible says in Hebrews 7 and 25, he's forever interceding for us. He's able to save all those who come to God through him. He's there at all times. And the Bible even declares that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That we carry around in this earthen vessel a treasure. And that treasure God put in our life. And we need to understand that when things happen in our life, and they do, and they will. I'm not speaking doom here. I'm not speaking, you know, your bad news to you. I'm trying to tell you there's a way to get through difficult times. There's a way to respond when things happen where you thought this could never happen to me. Ever. And all of a sudden you wake up and what you thought could never happen. What Job said, "What I feared the most has come upon me." And everybody around Job, even his own wife, everybody was dead and animals were gone, buildings were burned, tents were swept away by the wind. Job had terrible disease, boils. And his wife says an uplifting word to him. "You know what, Job? You just need to curse God and die." You know, I mean, I don't know how he felt at that moment, but that must have been really harsh for him to hear. In distress, totally dismantled. Everything he had was taken. And his wife, who, his partner, his friend, his best friend, his mate, curse God and die. And Job was a mess at that point. But let's go on now to see what happens when we see this. And David had three wives, and yet now one of them had already died, and now two of them had been taken from him. So he was going like, this isn't happening to me. This is like, I'm not losing the thing that I love the most. My wife, or in those days, wives. But the idea of it is that he was devastated. They were all devastated. There wasn't a dry eye in the burned city of Ziklag. Everybody was in such a difficult state. So then David said to Abiathar the priest, Amalek's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? I want you to look at something. We're going to look at something here in a little while about Saul and David. Just in a few slides here, we're going to see something, a comparison between Saul or David. And you'll see the importance of maintaining a good relationship with God. But David, he sought the Lord. He brought that ephod there. He wanted to get a hold of God. It was a difficult time. He didn't say, you know what? I'm so angry with God right now, I don't even want to talk to him. So if anybody talks to him today, tell him that I'm angry. He's not getting a phone call from me. I'm not even talking to God, and I'm sure it's going to bother his day. You know, he didn't do that. He didn't go, you know, like he went and sought God. And if I say anything else today, I want to say this. No matter what you're going through, no matter what difficulty you face, always remember, faith in God will get you through. Trusting God in His promise, no matter if the promise was several years ago or even a moment ago, or in all distance of time in between those two, the moment or the years ago. God will never fail you. His promise is a sure foundation. His word is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It separates the joint and the marrow, the soul and the spirit, and knows the very thoughts and the intents of your heart. He's the healer of all our diseases. He delivers us from all our iniquities. He makes us live like we're youth. Amen. I think it's really important we grab a hold that God is there always to bless you, to strengthen you, to guide you, and to lead you, and to answer your prayer. The Bible says that his ear is not too heavy that he cannot hear, that his arm is not too short that it cannot save. He loves to bless his people, but there are times when we get hit by something that we go, oh, my, where is my life now? You get a letter in the mail. Oh no, I didn't believe this just happened to me. You didn't get the job you were seeking after. Oh my goodness, I didn't get that job. What am I going to do? Oh well, just sit down here and cry for a couple weeks, months, years. Or do I seek God? Do I look after the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory for all my steps that I need to take? The Bible declares that the Lord orders the steps of a righteous person. The Bible declares when you fall seven times, you get up every time. The Bible declares that we can pray, yea, seven times a day, yea, three times a day, yea, one time a day, but we can pray whenever we desire to seek the Lord because He is always there to be found. Amen. Praise God. How important that is in our life. Amen. To know that God is always there. And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them without fail, recover all. Devastation in the midst of darkness, no power left, too weary to cry, no, your tears, there's no more fluid to come out of your eyes. You've mourned, you've cried, you've listened to death threats and everything else, and all of a sudden God comes through with a promise a direction. You see, what happens is that David had a listening ear for something that he wanted God to tell him to do. He was literally saying, shall I pursue them and overtake them, or should I just sit here and let them stone me? But anyhow, the bottom line, it comes like this, is that he asked and inquired of God because he needed to know what to do. His life was on the edge. His last breaths may be here. This may be his last moments in the present hour he was living. A king who served God so well. But he pursues God. He seeks God. He goes and he gets the ephod and he looks into this ephod. He puts his face. He just cries out to God. You know, he's sitting there with all distress and the heavy heartedness. Everything that he's made up of is he's shaking. He's hurt. His sons, his daughters, the city that he loved is gone. His wives are gone. And God answers him and gives him a promise. You see, what we do is sometimes we get so bound up with our doubting and our fear and our mistrust and our this could never happen to me moments, and this is God must not like me, and oh, this is it, and I've given all this money, I've worked so hard, I've did everything I possibly could, and look. You see, when you're doing all that talking in your mind, you can't hear God. But if you just sit down with God, say, God, I'm just going to ask you right now, can you handle this or not? And just wait. So many people do this with God. God, can you handle this or not? I know you can, and I don't know whether or not you will, and I don't know if I'm okay today, and oh, God, I just went through about 80,000 sins that I did a couple months ago, and I know that's a lot, God, but you know, no one knows you like me, you know. But anyhow, God, here it is. I got all this going. Man, here it is, and I'm going through all of them right now. Forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. You know what I mean? And it's just like, you're going through all this stuff, and God's just sitting there going, I probably, God, I know, probably doesn't do this, but let's get a word picture here. God just looks over at Jesus and says, if they would ever be quiet, I could say something. If they would just hold back, I can break through and tell them that I'm there, and it's going to be all right. Amen? Amen. You see, and God says, go after them. Without fail, you're going to recover it all. So, into Ziklag, nothing, burnt, gone, family, threats of death. They're going to stone him. This is it. No more power left. No more tears left. It's the end of the line. And he says, God, what should I do? Shall I overtake them? He's drawing now on the faith that he had in God, what he saw God do in the past, God can do again. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? Is anything too hard for God? He knew he just needed to get a word from the Lord. And I tell you, maybe you're here today and that's all you need is a word from God. A word. Not a sentence. Not a book, a word. Go after them. You're going to recover everything. Everything is gone, but if you pursue them, you're going to take it all back. So David went, he and the 600 men who were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those stayed who left behind. But David pursued. He and 400 men, for 200 stayed behind, who were so weary that they could not cross the brook Besor. They were weary because of all the devastation. 600 people went after a huge army. You see, God may not give you what you think you need, because he's all you need. You don't need a big army. You just need God. If God before me, what should I fear man can do unto me? It's better to trust in the Lord than all the chariots and horses. God knows exactly what he's having. It's just a matter of your faith. What you believe, what you trust in. I believe God can do anything. I always say this, if God does anything and people don't like it, who's going to argue with him?
God knows what He's doing. He wants you to succeed. He wants you to know the power of an anointed God that has created you, has breathed life into you, and has given you the length of your days and a destiny that's awesome. But He needs your faith to embrace His love and trust Him in the midst of a storm, because God can take that storm and cause it to flee in the name of Jesus. Are you with me? I hope so. So here we are dealing with discouragement. A tough day at Ziklag, wouldn't you say that? Dealing with discouragement. A tough day at Ziklag. It's like coming home and how'd everything go at the office today? Whoa. It was a tough day at the office. The boss was uptight. And I'm the boss. It was a tough day at the office. But let me tell you, this was not an office day. This was a city day. And I want to keep reiterating that. This was horrible. Discouragement is hard to deal with. It's difficult when you're discouraged. People come up and say, it's going to be all right. And inside you want to say, get away from me. I'm in my little discouragement party and I'm enjoying it by myself. My wife used to say, people get in the garden and they eat worms. You know, it's just like, just back off. I'll be all right when I want to come out of my garden, when I come out of my discouragement. I'll be all right. But you know what? I don't need you to tell me it's going to be all right. Well, yeah, you do. You need somebody to tell you it's going to be all right, because you're telling yourself it ain't going to be all right. I have no faith, no trust. God doesn't love me. Matter of fact, I don't even think He knows I exist anymore. Why did a great God, a loving God, a kind God, a God that I give my tithe? I'm on time to church. You know, I'm always there. I just love God with all my heart. I pray. I fast. I tell everybody I pray. I tell everybody I fast. You know, I am like, wait a minute. SC Super Christian! And I'm humble too. And God just loves me so much. I'm so humble. God's got a plan for your life. He knows your thoughts. He knows what you need. And David had an understanding with God that was unique. All starting with an anointing. When he was 12 years old. His brothers didn't like him. They were jealous. As a matter of fact, they were wanting him to get killed when he went to fight Goliath. They were like saying, yeah, send David out there. We'll get rid of our brother. But let me tell you something. David had a relationship with God that he sang psalms and played the harp and wrote psalms and had a relationship that was so deep with God that even in the New Testament, after all of David's difficulties and moral failures and plans of murder and webs of deception that he did. The Bible says in the book of Acts that David was a man after God's own heart. Wow. So don't give up on yourself when you make a mistake. Don't give up on who you are and your identity when something goes wrong. God has a plan for your life. And it's not so easily torn away from you. Even though it could be very devastating, God is still God in your life. If you have faith in a King that is forever and ever, He has always been, always will be, and He is right now. He has no beginning, no end. He's the Alpha, the Omega. He's the King of glory. He's the God of all the armies of Israel. He's the God of all the armies of heaven. My God, He spoke Michael and Gabriel. He spoke them all into existence. He rolled the planets off His fingertips. He hung the stars. He named them all. He created Adam out of dirt. He created a woman out of Adam's side. He created this earth. He spun it. He gave them a wholesome restart. Jesus Christ, the King of kings and the Lord of glory, that all we had to do was call upon His name to be saved. My goodness gracious, every one of you and I, every one of us, everyone, at one time in your life, you have already been where He is. because you were not saved. Did you catch that? Till Jesus came into your life, then you were free. Then you were able to worship. Then you were able to praise. There the weights of sin were off of you. There the future of a darkness is gone. And the future of a great heaven is there. A future of a pleasantry with God for eternity is there. Not a fiery furnace or a hell that cannot be broken. But Jesus came, and by the blood that He shed on the cross, He broke through our devastation and our fears and our doubts. And He said, come unto you, all you are heavy laden, all you that are burdened, and come and find rest with me. Hallelujah. Have you found that rest? Well, what David did, he realized he was having the worst day ever. That's the first thing you got to recognize. What kind of a day am I having? I'm having a bad day. That's the worst day I've ever had in my life, as a matter of fact. If one day like this comes again, I may not even go into the day. I may just kind of scoot around this day, and hopefully I'm going to go from Tuesday to Thursday without going into Wednesday. He wept with the people till there was no more power to weep. He found strength in the Lord. He prayed and asked God to help him, to direct him what to do on the worst day of his life. Can you imagine? But he did it. Ask yourself this question. What would you do this time? What's your MO when something bad happens? You're either going to be built by faith or you're going to be embracing fear and doubt. That's your MO. Something bad happens. Something good's happening in your life. You say, people see you and you call them on the phone. They say, how you doing? Well, man, it's fantastic today. Man, it's great. I mean, I'll tell you, this is the best day. The person says, man, it's storming. This tornado just went through. Man, what's wrong with you? All I can tell you is God's sitting right here in my living room with me right now. We just had an espresso together and I'm just talking his ear off. Praise God. Or you call, how you doing? Oh, my God. And you're on the other line going, why did I dial this number? Maybe I'll act like it's a pocket dial right now. And you're going, oh, and then you just start bleeding on them. That's the worst day of my life. I just wish the sun would come out. I just can't stand it. Oh, my goodness, what am I going to do? Oh, do you have a moment? I need to talk to you. And you're going, it's not raining. The sun is out. It's 73 degrees. There's not a cloud in the sky. There's a cool breeze coming through. It's beautiful. That's how you see it. You see, it's how we believe we see God and how we want to respond to God in our time of great fear and great devastation. How do we want to look at Him? God is just not a God we go to for the good times or the good things. God is the God we go to during the good times and the bad times. He's the one that we come to every day and say, Father, I just want to tell you I love you. I know I wish these things weren't going on in my life, but I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to smile. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to have faith in you because your word is going to declare victory in my life. There's no enemy that's going to take me down. That wall in front of me, you've given me power to vault over it. And boy, when the storm comes, you've become my shelter. As a matter of fact, God, I read in the Bible that you're the bulwark that faileth not. Praise God. The Bible says that your name is a high tower and those that run to it find safety. And God, I can pray, take me to the rock much higher than I, and I know you'll take me right into the presence of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Oh, Father, the Bible declares that I am healed by the stripes. I am forgiven by the cross of Calvary and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You heal all my diseases, praise God. You send forth your word, Psalm 107 and verse 20. You send forth your word and they were all healed, praise God. Exodus 15 and 26 says that you sent your word and they were all healed. And you said, I am the God who heals. Let me tell you something right now. We're serving a God that responds to your prayers, responds to your faith. And no matter what it looks like, He will bring you through. Amen. Amen. I feel like preaching for a moment. What did David not do?
He did not let the people influence him. Too many people come around and want to influence. And you listen to their influence. Something goes wrong, and you call folks on the phone. You know, something goes wrong in my life, you know what I do? I call 1-800-JESUS. The old days, we used to sing that song, call him up, call him up. If you want your healing, call him up. Amen. I believe also the Bible says this. In whose report will you believe? I will believe in the report of the Lord. The report of the Lord is victory, victory, victory in Jesus' name. People don't, they have the best intentions. And some folks love to hear other people bleeding. And they're going to bleed right along with you as it becomes a big bleeding day. What's going on with you? Well, I don't know where to start. Well, I'll start for you. My day. Well, let me know. Oh, wait a minute. And before you know it, they go back and forth competing who's had the worst day. And God's up there again. I know he doesn't have these conversations. I'm sure of it because he's probably way too busy for these simple conversations. Or he is too busy. Can you believe what they're just kind of going back and forth, and all I want to do is break in the conversation and talk with them and say, it's going to be okay. What you see now is not what the tomorrow is going to bring. You may be weeping tonight, but joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. You may be weeping today, but I'll tell you, joy is on its way to your life. Or you're on the way to a joyful life, however you want to look at that. Don't let people influence you with negative talk. And then there's these people that have you ever noticed people that no matter what goes on, it's all about them? It's not all about them. It's all about Jesus. Everything we do should be about Jesus. And let me tell you something. Don't let people influence you with negative speech. There's a time in your life where all you need is a word from God. A delicate yet powerful yet piercing word from God. Pursue and you shall overtake them all. In other words, he's saying, go get them. I'm already there waiting on you. When you get over there, you're going to find that I'm going to show you an empowerment that you're getting back everything, your family. You're going to rebuild the city of Ziklag, and everything is going to be all right. Amen. He did not let the situation master him. Sometimes we let situations master our lives. Little problem comes and our whole life is mastered by that problem. You see, prior to that news about the problem, God was the master of your life. Then the problem comes, and then all of a sudden, the problem's the master of your life, and God is somewhere, oh, I forgot earlier in this message. I better go to the bookshelf and pull him down right now. I need to get him back. You see, it's easy. It's a normal thing for people to do this, so don't get down on yourself. That something bad happens and all of a sudden that bad becomes a greater thought in your mind than the good that God is. The promise that God gave. The foundation that he's given you to walk on. The word that he's given in your life. The prophetic word that came through. The other prophetic words you're waiting for it to come through. The promises that God said. All that's gone because all now you can think about is this one difficulty. He inquired of the Lord. Yes, he did. We covered and talked very distinctly about that. He gathered the wisdom of the Lord and he took the steps to better this grave day. You see, you may get a word from God. Let me tell you something about faith, okay? Faith is not only a word. Faith is an act. When he said, cross that river Jordan, he said, when the priests put their feet in the water, if they would have stood there on that shore waiting for God to do everything for them, it would have never happened. He had to put his first step, that priest did. As soon as he put that foot in the water separated. Moses, the sea's edge, what did he do? He simply went to God and God said, what are you praying to me for?
Go and lift up the staff. Now, there was the command, but all Moses had to do was walk over there, and if he would have sat there and didn't do what God said to do, that sea would have never separated. It would have not happened. He lifted up the staff, that staff representing Jesus Christ, that staff saying, this is the power of God. And the Red Sea separated. I can take you through story after story after story. Nehemiah, if he would have said a cupbearer, I don't know what would have happened to the walls of Jerusalem. What a marvelous time that we have. It's an action of faith. God says to pursue, he needed to take the step for it to begin to become active in his life. And I think people don't realize that faith is an action that you have to begin to take the steps that God says to do. He had every right. David could have said, you know what? I'm burnt out. I have no power. I can get away from these guys who are going to stone me. I can trick them. I can go. I'm not doing this. I think I'm going to go running back to Jerusalem. And I'm just going to hang out. But he took a step. 600 men he took with him. And those steps brought back the recovery of all that he left. And I want to ask you a question today. Are you ready to take a step that brings back all the recovery you need? Are you ready to take that faith and say, you know what, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take that step of faith. It doesn't look like I have it, but I'm going to take that step of faith to where I'm going to move forward. And God is going to bless my step because he said to pursue, to go after it. It's yours. You're going to gain it all back. Or you can sit down and call somebody up on the phone. 1-800-BLEED-ON-ME. 1-800-I'm-negative. 1-800-I-know you don't hear me when I talk, but I'm going to listen to you talk negative. I mean, all sorts of things, you know. You can do, or you can just follow God. Say, you know what, God, I believe you. So what did David find? What did he find? He found encouragement. That's what strengthening means in the word there. That he found counsel and encouragement with God. I'll tell you, how many would readily say today, this is a rhetorical question. How many would readily say that there are times where you just need a word of encouragement? Maybe it's a simple thing. Maybe you got a new outfit and you went to work in a new outfit, but you're all the way there, you're thinking, geez, I don't know if this fits right. I don't know. I'm feeling a little funny about this, you know. Or you got your hair done, or, you know, I'm not real sure about this. You put it up on Facebook, you know, you're not sure what everybody's going to react like, so you want to get the Facebook page up there real quick. This is me when you see me. Or something to that effect. Or you don't know whether or not, you know, one eyebrow is higher than the other. You can't figure it out, you know. You just don't know what to do. So you put something on to make it like a balance out. You do all sorts of things, you know, whatever it is. But somebody walks up and says to you when you get to work, that outfit looks great on you. Somebody walks up and says, you know, I saw your picture on Facebook and now here in person, that looks really good on you. That was a great choice. Somebody walks up and says, man, your eyebrows are perfectly straight. You need to keep wearing that headband. This is how it is. You know, always, you know, there's always something. You need a word of encouragement. Amen. How about you looking great today? You worship so good today. Praise God. It's marvelous to see you. Your smile always brings an enlightenment to my heart. Praise God. Amen. He found courage. Fear is devastating. Fear can cause you to be paralyzed. Fear can get you to a place where you can't even dial a number. You don't go to the post office. You don't go to the mailbox. When the phone rings, you look at the caller ID and you're not answering it. Fear can cause you to be paralyzed. fear can cause you to have all sorts of excuses. But courage gives you that inner strength. That you'll answer that phone, you'll dial that number, you'll go to that post office box, you'll go to that mailbox, and no matter what it is, I'm courageous. Because the courage that I have comes from the ability to know that the joy of the Lord is my strength. I have courage. And then he got hope. He found hope when he pursued God. You'll always find hope when you pursue God. Some people want to say, throw it away. Stop caring. But God says, never give up hope. As long as there is a breath, you've got hope. As long as there's a day and you're here, you've got hope. Praise God. And when you get to heaven, my friend, you don't need hope anymore because you're with the hope creator. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Let me tell you, he found hope where it was hopeless. He went to God and he found hope. Maybe you're here today. Maybe there's a hopeless situation that only you know about. I'm saying to you with all the love and the kindness that I can say from my heart and from the anointing of the Holy Spirit, pursue God. Because it may be hopeless now, but when you get into the presence of God, you will find hope. Amen. Expectancy. Greatness. The ability to conquer that which is before you and to recover everything that was lost. Amen. Job never lost hope. He said some things he shouldn't have said. He had to repent to his friends. But once he took care of business, God gave him back sevenfold. Amen. Amen. He got it all back. Nehemiah said, I'm too busy to come down off the ladder. Building the promise of God. I got my soldiers, they're dealing with the promise with one hand, and they got a sword in the other hand ready to battle off the enemy. Jesus walked down the Via Della Rosa with hope. A hope that you and I one day would call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Joy of the Lord became his strength, Nehemiah 8 and 10. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Well, don't be sorrowful at all. The joy, God's joy in your life is your strength. He learned the importance of asking in Matthew 7:7. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Keep asking. Don't give up. Keep seeking. Don't give up. Keep knocking. Don't give up. God wants you to contact him. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. And don't give up till the answer comes. Don't let people what? Influence you. Faith is an act. It pursues. It keeps pushing. It presses on towards the high mark of the calling of God in Christ Jesus. It presses through. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do this. I am not going to give up. Praise God, because my faith in me is alive and powerful, and I'm going to keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking till I receive all that God has promised me. Has anybody ever given up in here? Have you given up? Don't give up. Stay strong in faith. Stay strong. He learned to wait. He renewed strength. He mounted up. He ran and wasn't going to be weary now. They were running after this. They weren't weary. There's 200 of them stayed. They were weary, but he wasn't. He would walk and not faint. He got there. He lived out of Isaiah 40:31. He did it, man. He just went after that. He just was there. He renewed his strength. Praise God. Those that wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew strength. He was waiting on the Lord. He got renewed, refreshed. How many today would like to have a little renewing, a little refreshing? Praise God. Now let's drop down all the guards right now. Let's pull all the shields away. Let's just believe that God can really touch you and help you and strengthen you and guide you, uplift you, encourage you, bring the right influences into your life. You know, your circle of influence is very important that's around you. And you need to make sure that those influencers in your life are people of prayer, people that know the word, and people who are going to speak life into a hopeless situation where that hopeless situation begins to breathe. Just like when I spoke the other week about the valley of dry bones where there was nothing arid, there was no no skin, no sinew, no flesh at all. It was done. They'd been there a long time. There was no life anywhere. It was hopeless. Can these bones live? And Ezekiel was very, very smart. He says, only you know, God. So who are you going to go after? You're going to go after the Lord and to find out. God knows. God knows your situation right now. He knows your very area of your life. The Bible says in Isaiah 55 and 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Keep your heart right with God. Don't let things into your eyes, into your ears. They're going to take you away from God. Keep yourself humble before the Lord. The Bible says in St. John 15 and 5 that you're nothing without him, but with him, you're awesome. You're awesome. Amen. You got to be connected to the vine who's connected to the root. Praise God. And he's bringing in the power of the Holy Ghost into your life. Are you with me? Amen. David knew. He knew he had a freedom to communicate with the Lord. He had a freedom to communicate with the Lord. Do you know you have that freedom today? Anything you ask in Jesus' name, if you believe, you shall have it. Amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, I got a reality here that's real, and maybe I can't see it, but I know I can see it. I know it's there. You may not see it, but I'm going to tell you, I see it. Oh, no, it's not there. Oh, no, no, I'm not having you influence me. It's there. I know it's there. Praise God. I know it's there. David and Saul, the difference in my closing today. Saul sought out a median. That's what he did. Same books, a few chapters earlier. He sought out a medium. David sought out the Lord. Saul was promised death when he did that. He was told, you're going to die. David was promised life and blessings. You see, too many people want to seek out some new age hoopla. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Seek God. Seek the Lord. And, you know, Saul called up Samuel from the grave. I'm sure Samuel's pretty bummed out, you know. Here he is resting in God, you know, and he's got to come up and deal with Saul, who he's already told him, you're a mess, Saul. But he was promised death. It was spoken that he would die. David seeks the Lord and has spoken that he shall have life and blessings. Be careful who you seek in the times of weakness and great distress. Be careful in what goes on in your life. Who you seek, what you go through, God has already known it's going to happen. And he's got your tomorrow covered. He's got your destiny covered. God loves you. He'll build your character. He'll bring you persevering strength. He'll pour love in your heart. He'll give you hope, which will be the anchor of your soul, that no matter what sort of storms come into your life, you will be strengthened. You'll be held in the harbor of the safety of his love. And what your destiny was, it is. And when it becomes what it is, you will stand with God. Amen. 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 And amen.